I'm your host, Doug. You can complain, it says in the yearbook at hotmail.com. Why there? Because that is the full name of this program. Speaking of Doug, it was a headline week for May 22nd, the finest of all the birthdays. Your opinion may vary. We were going to make the point we always do, that May 22nd needs a star. The day needs a star. A positive star to remind the public that May 22nd exists. So we were going to say the days that surround it, May 21st and May 23rd, have tons of celebrity birthdays. Well, everyone skipped the 22nd. What, back in, what is it, October? Ah, never mind. Classic May 22. But if you look at it, now this is what we grew up with, that May 21st and 23rd had all the stars, had all the glory, and May 22nd was just passed over, skipped over. That's where its underdog reputation came from. But if you look at the three, the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, the 22nd might actually be the best of the three. Look it up and see what you think. Nonetheless, we stand by it, except losing the LA Rams' Aaron Donald and Archer's H. John Benjamin so close to May 23rd. Those are big losses. Those hurt. Anyway, for their home opener this week, the Red Sox had three different Patriots players throw out the first pitch, but the guy in the middle, the featured guy, was Julian Edelman, May 22nd's own Julian Edelman. What? They featured someone born on 5/22? Didn't they see that graphic? Yes, that Julian Edelman. Not the good doctor's Lisa Edelstein. She was born on May 23rd, or May 21st, actually. That's another big loss. But Super Bowl winner, Kent State grad Julian Edelman. That was cool. Your opinion may vary. This is, by the way, the podcast, yes, that called the Duke basketball star Zion Williams. And we want you to subscribe. Beknownst to everyone except us, it's Zion Williams' son. But you can listen to us anywhere, subscribe, and complain. As we mentioned, when we talked about Clemson University crossing over in an earlier episode, Clemson was a football colossus, then wasn't, then was again. That's deceptively difficult to do, to cross back over in a successful way. Because in college sports, for some reason, there's a power subclass. Big colleges from big conferences that, unlike small colleges, have a clear path to the national title every year. Vanderbilt, that's not where this is going. Vanderbilt is an SEC member. They're on TV. They have money. They're in the running for good players. They could reach the football championship game. Washington State is a Pac-12 member. Same thing. They could reach basketball's Final Four thanks to big league membership and money. But they and many, many big members of all big conferences never do. There are a ton of reasons this could be. History and academic standards are a couple, and there are a ton of behind-the-scenes, eyes-only reasons this could be. Money, the school's actual commitment to the sport, salaries, infrastructure, internal politics, fan interest, how the athletic department functions or doesn't function. It's all politics. Location. Whatever the exact reasons, there seems to be a glass ceiling where basketball teams like Auburn, Texas Tech, and Virginia can contend but never truly threatened to win a title. Then Auburn, Texas Tech, and Virginia happened. The irony is those three guaranteed that Power Five conferences would have all the slots in the Final Four while simultaneously giving us a very surprising Final Four minus an actual Cinderella. And all three did what shouldn't seem impossible for big colleges, but given the written in stone NCAA basketball pecking order, does seem impossible. And they all did it just 3 months after Clemson cemented their born-again power status. Since the early 80s, it seemed like the Tigers were destined to be permanent members of football's upper middle class. Now Clemson is the best or second best overall football program in the country. Now you don't have to listen to that other godforsaken episode. As for Virginia basketball, you've heard by now, they are a great story of redemption in the face of crushing disappointment. The Cavaliers looked like they were the late 90s New Jersey Devils, but they turned out to be the 2004 Red Sox. To wit, like those Devils teams, Virginia looked so locked into a defensive game plan that it got into their heads. They couldn't play offense and they wore themselves down. That was after the upset loss to Maryland, Baltimore County, UMBC, and last year's NCAAs. However, instead, the Cavaliers turned out to be the Red Sox after spending decades being pushed around by the Yankees and suffering embarrassing defeat after embarrassing defeat, the Red Sox exacted revenge finally the only possible way they really could. Now, obviously, it's not the way they wanted to do it, but they were put in that position and they took it. Now, for their fans, winning the World Series was the big thing. People back then, very silly argument that, well, now they've defeated the Yankees in the playoffs, the ghosts are all gone. Now, the idea was to win the World Series, not just beat the Yankees. So for the fan base, winning the World Series, a huge deal. But overall, winning one playoff series wasn't going to be enough to erase history. Boston had to make the biggest, the loudest history they possibly could. And so, in 2004, the Red Sox, trailing their nemesis, New York, by 3 games and 24 outs, they staged one of the greatest playoff comebacks anywhere ever. Virginia did the only thing they could do to help erase last year's upset. They went all the way. Now, for sure, every time March comes around, March Madness, the UMBC highlight is going to be shown in a loop. It's going to be shown forever and should be as one of the great NCAA tournament upsets. But now that highlight is often going to be followed by a narrator saying Virginia would go on to win the national title the very next year, or Virginia, of course, would go on to win the national championship the next year, or you'll just remember that the Cavaliers won it all a year later. This national championship was the only thing that could permanently attach a qualifier to that upset loss. And what about Maryland, Baltimore County? Rightly hailed as heroes after the 2018 tournament, the Retrievers created a mystique at that university. Even if you're seeing UMBC baseball, okay, if you're watching a UMBC baseball game, you see the logo, you hear the name, and you're like, wow, there they are, UMBC, and there's that logo. There's a mystique around the school after what they did last year. But Virginia's march to the championship, for some, tell me if you disagree, put the Retrievers in kind of a different light. There were thousands of references this March and April to Virginia overcoming the UMBC problem or getting past the UMBC defeat or dealing with UMBC. And in a way, that inadvertently made the national darling Cinderellas seem like the villains. It was just a bizarre dynamic for everyone involved.